you have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Romans chapter 8 and verses 28 and 29. As we continue in our series, Why I Am a Christian, Romans chapter 8, 28 and 29. Paul says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers." Let's pray. Lord, I just thank You for Your word, and I just thank You, Lord, that it's true. And I pray, Lord, in the times when we have so much trouble in our lives, in our country, in our world, we realize how much we need to trust You, Lord, that You're going to bring something good out of all of it. Pray You'd come to us now by the power of Your Holy Spirit. I pray You'd open Your word and teach us from it exactly what it is You want us to know. We ask all this in Your name. Amen. One fall day, a little bird was flying south for the winter, and he'd already gotten such a late start, and it was already so cold outside, he froze up and fell down in the cow pasture. And then a cow came over and did what cows do best, dropped a big pile of cow manure right on top of it. And every farmer will tell you, cow manure is really warm. So as the little bird laid there, covered up, he started warming up. And when he realized that he wasn't dead and that he wasn't going to freeze to death, he got so happy he started singing. But then a cat heard the singing, followed the sound, found a big pile of cow manure, dug the little bird out and ate him. And the moral of the story is what? When you're in it really, really deep, best to keep your mouth shut. Well, I got a better idea. When you're in it really, really deep and things are going really, really wrong and you don't have any idea what's really, really going on, better to keep trusting God like nobody's business. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Why I Am a Christian, looking at all kinds of reasons why we really follow Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Last time we saw that we are a Christian because we stay close to Jesus Christ at all times. And today we see that we are a Christian because we trust Jesus Christ even in times of trouble. And to see that, we turn today to Romans chapter 8 and verses 28 and 29. In this part of Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul is telling us Christians what we need to do in times of trouble. And in our text today, Paul tells us we need to keep trusting that God is going to bring good things out of the bad things. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today the reason that we are a Christian is because we keep trusting that God's going to bring good things out of the bad things too. Our text this morning, Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29, tells us three things that we need to remember to keep trusting God in times of trouble, no matter what. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to remember to keep trusting God in times of trouble, is that bad things are going to happen. And that's exactly what we see here in verse 28. Because atheists always have the exact same argument. Atheist author Richard Dawkins says this: "Silly Christians say that God is good, but evil exists. So either God isn't good or God doesn't exist, because if God exists, He would allow evil to exist." And people, that's absolutely ridiculous. Evil doesn't prove that God doesn't exist, because if there is no God, evil doesn't exist. Because there's nobody outside of you to tell you what good and evil is. So evil doesn't prove that there is no God. What evil actually proves is that there really is a God and how much the world really does need God. So there. And that God tells us bad things are going to happen. And folks, that's exactly what the Bible tells us right up front, over and over and over again. Job chapter 5, verse 7, man is born for trouble. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "In this world you will have difficulty." 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, "Do not be surprised at all the fiery trials that come your way, because bet the farm, they're going to come." So if you're listening to this sermon right now and you're not dealing with any trouble in your life right now, good night, Irene and Chi-Chi Bug. I guarantee you more trouble is coming your way. Amen. And why? Because we live in a fallen world. Where sin has screwed up this universe so bad, nothing, absolutely nothing, operates like God originally created it to or intended it to. That's why we have things like tornadoes and earthquakes and hurricanes and tsunamis like the one that hit Vietnam just past Wednesday. That's why we have cicada mite bites and mice in our garages and moles in our yard. One out of every eight women in America now gets breast cancer. One out of every four pregnancies ends in a miscarriage. One out of every 33 babies in America is born with some kind of a birth defect. Bad stuff happens. Life happens. Last June the 27th, Vancouver, Washington State, a big black bear walked into a come-and-go gas station, sniffed through the snack rack, and grabbed, I kid you not, a bag of gummy bears. And then left without paying. Bad things happen. Bad things happen because of sin. Last Tuesday night, during the presidential debate, we saw that.
In the past couple of weeks leading up to this debate, you have said, quote, you lost by a whisker, that you, quote, didn't quite make it, that you came up a little bit short. Are you now acknowledging that you lost in 2020?
No, I don't acknowledge that at all.
But
I said that sarcastically.
That.
You know that.
I did watch all of these pieces of video. I didn't detect the sarcasm, lost by a whisker, we didn't quite make it. And we should just point out here as clarification, and you know this, you and your allies, 60 cases in front of many judges, many of them
no
Republicans.
No judge looked at
who's doing the debate.
They said
no
we didn't have standing.
Fraud.
Obamacare was lousy health care. And what we will do is we're looking at different plans. If we can come up with a plan that's going to cost our people, our population, less money and be better health care than Obamacare, then I would absolutely do it.
So just a yes or no, you still do not have a plan?
I have concepts of a plan. I'm not president right now.
The Bolsheviks at ABC, David Muir, Lindsey Scott constantly interrupted Donald Trump and supposedly fact-checked. They didn't do that one time to Kamala Harris. Folks, that wasn't a one-on-one debate. It was a three-on-one drive-by shooting. Sin. And because there's sin in the world, there's evil in the world. Last September the 6th, Winder, Georgia, 14-year-old Colt Gray took an AK-47 to Appalachian High School, shot and killed two other students and two teachers. America doesn't have a gun problem. America's got a God problem and a sin problem. Bad things happen. And bad things happen to everybody. Princess Kate, future Queen of England, is now fighting cancer. Pop singer Lady Gaga, just diagnosed with fibromyalgia. Comedian Pete Davidson, who for some reason dates every hot-looking woman in Hollywood, last July the 7th checked himself in to rehab for borderline personality disorder and PTSD. NHL hockey star Johnny Gaudreau, hit and killed on a bicycle by a drunk driver during his sister's wedding weekend. Bad things happen to everybody. Nobody's immune. Nobody gets a pass. But the good news is, even though things are bad, God is still good. Because God is not Dr. Octopus or Cruella DeVille. Psalm 119, verse 68, God is good and everything He does is good. Kids in Los Angeles schools are not being taught how great the gods of the ancient Aztecs were because they supposedly had transgender priests. But folks, the ancient Aztecs practiced human sacrifice and murdered millions and millions of slaves and prisoners and ate their hearts and drank their blood because they thought that was going to make their god, Huitzilopochtli, save them. See, the God of the Bible didn't sacrifice millions and millions of people to save us. He sacrificed His own Son, Jesus Christ, on a cross to save us. Because that's the only way it could happen. God is good. If evil supposedly proves that there is no God, what about good things? Why do good things happen then? Last April the 19th, Tempe, Arizona, a construction worker named Isidro Mejia fell off a roof with a nail gun in his hand and accidentally shot six different nails into his own head. But folks, what do you know? Not one of those nails caused any real damage at all. The guy was back to work a week later. God is good. Yeah. Forget about the foot-long Subway sandwiches at Subway. Subway now has foot-long chocolate chip cookies. Don't tell me that God isn't good. Life isn't always good, but God is. And I know there's somebody here in this sermon right now. You say, well, Kevin, if you say God is good and God does all these good things, how come all the bad things are happening? How come all those bad things are happening to me? Kevin, why me? And the question is, why not you? If Jeremiah got thrown in a pit, if Joseph had to spend time in prison, if Jesus Christ had to go to the cross, what makes you think you're so untouchable? Your parents are splitting up. And it's rocking your world. Or guys at school are posting deep fake naked pictures of you online and you just want to kill yourself. You find out that for years your wife has had a secret TikTok account and was hooking up with all kinds of side guys. Your boy tells you that he's really a girl. And there goes all the dreams and plans you had for him right down the drain. God, what is this? Some kind of a joke? You and your husband are both working like coal mine mules and you still can't pay your bills. And the stress is killing you. Your ex is making your life a living hell because he's lying to your kids and turning your kids against you. Your wife is diagnosed with dementia at 56 years old. There go all your plans for retirement with her. The cancer comes back and now it's metastasized in your brain. What in the world? What in the world are you going to do? And everybody says, well, God will never give you any more than you can handle. How many of y'all realize that's not in the Bible? How many of y'all realize that's not true?
Amen. That's right.
Because there's all kinds of people all over the world dealing with all kinds of things that they can't handle. It's not that God won't give you more than you can handle. It's that God will never give you more than He can handle. Because God can handle anything.
Amen.
Times of trouble come, we need to go to the Lord. And I got reminded of that myself. Again, about 6 weeks ago. There's five things in my life that are so important to me, I always know exactly where they are. My wife Sue, of course. My billfold, my car keys, my glasses, and my Bible. Because I can't function without them. My Bible, because I like hardcover, large print Bibles with nobody else's notes or pictures or bells or whistles in them. And those kind of Bibles ain't easy to find. And my glasses, because in 43 years of ministry, I've had to read so much stuff, including my own band handwriting, I've turned myself into Mr. Magoo. So about 2 years ago, I got some super duper, mega progressive trifocals that are so strong when I wear them, I can almost see through walls. But I need them to do my job, because I can't read a blessed thing without them. Well, last July the 21st, we were doing baptisms over in the Fox River on a farm just east of Serena. And had my glasses and my Bible with me, because before the baptisms, I always read from Romans chapter 6 about what baptism really means. Went down to the river, got everybody baptized, put my Bible and my glasses down on the grass by the riverbank, dried off with my towel, grabbed the baptism certificates I had for everybody, walked over to a picnic table, signed all the certificates, got back in the car with the couple who'd ridden with me, took them back to John and Sonny Stufflebean's place, then drove back home about 5 miles away. Got home, parked in front of the garage, reached over to grab my glasses and my Bible, because the very nanosecond I get home from church on Sunday, I start working on the sermon for next Sunday. Reached over to grab my glasses and my Bible. They weren't there. Where's my glasses and my Bible? I started looking through the car all over the car. I couldn't find them. God, where's my glasses and my Bible? I need my glasses and my Bible. Turned the whole car inside out, and then all of a sudden I realized I left my glasses and my Bible on the grass by the riverbank in the clearing where we did the baptisms. And what freaked me out even more, when I left that farm, there were two women on two big honking riding lawnmowers going down to that clearing to mow the grass. And the grass was really tall, so they wouldn't be able to see those glasses and that Bible if they weren't looking for them. And if they hit them, you talk about spreading the word. So I jumped back in my car, I hit warp 10, floored it like I stole it, driving faster than your mom when you're late for school. And all the while I'm screaming and praying, God, please let me get there on time, please let me get there on time. Flew down Highway 71, took 2703 road on two wheels, flying down 52 west like Dukes of Hazzard, weaving in and out of traffic, passing cars. Get out of my way! Kyle Busch couldn't have done no better. God, please let me get to my Bible because I can't find them hardly anywhere else. Please let me get to my glasses because they cost me $700 and I don't have time to wait for a place. But God, please, please let me get there on time.
Amen.
Got to the farm, flew down the gravel road, got down to the clearing, and off to the left-hand side, I saw one of those women on that lawnmower. And I stuck my arm out the window and I was waving and yelling and screaming, but she didn't see me. She couldn't hear me. And what was even worse, she was mowing while looking at her phone. So she couldn't have seen my glasses and my Bible in the grass if she wanted to. So I stopped the car. I jumped out. I don't even know if my feet hit the ground. And I started running and waving my arms and screaming. And then I saw my glasses and my Bible right in front of the lawnmower. The mower getting closer and closer to it. God, please let me get there on time. I was screaming and yelling. And finally she saw me and stopped. And I rescued my glasses and my Bible less than 3 feet away from that mower, shredding them to pieces. Like a good Savior, Jesus is there. Things can get bad, but God is still good.
Amen.
The first thing that we need to remember in order to keep trust in God in times of trouble, bad things are going to happen. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to remember in order to keep trust in God in times of trouble. Not only are bad things going to happen, but God uses the bad things for good things. And that's also what we see here in verse 28. Because this verse ain't just one of those stupid slogans like, don't worry, be happy. Or what goes around comes around. Or what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Are you kidding me? Because if that's true, at this point, all the trouble I've dealt with in my life, I ought to be able to bench press my Toyota Camry. I'd be strong enough. Verse 28, God brings good things out of bad things. But notice, who is this promise for? Who does this promise only apply to? Only those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. Believers only. No posers. So if you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, you don't have God working for good things in your life. You've got the devil working for bad things in your life. And good luck with that. But today that can change if you turn to Jesus Christ. Now, even though God is good and God doesn't cause bad things to happen, He does allow some bad things to happen. And not because He's Hannibal Lecter or Nurse Ratchet. There's a reason for it. Why does God allow some bad things to happen to us? To drive us to Him? To remind us how much we need Him? To wake us up? To get our attention? That doctor points to you and says you've got a brain tumor? God says, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Comedian and actor Russell Brand got saved. Prayed to receive Christ last May. You know why? Because he got freaked out so bad, almost dying from a cocaine overdose. Psalm 119, verse 68. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now I obey your commands. God doesn't cut you to kill you. He cuts you to heal you. Steve Mongo McMichael, defensive tackle, Chicago Bears, 1985 Chicago Bears, 15 years in the NFL. Had a pro wrestling career, TV show star, shock jock, you name it. 2021, Steve Mongo McMichael was diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. A disease that is right now killing him. Last August the 3rd, from his own hospital bed in his own house, Steve McMichael was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Good for him. What most people don't know, though, is after Steve McMichael was diagnosed with ALS, former Chicago Bears teammates Mike Singletary and Leslie Frazier, who are both Christians, went to visit Steve McMichael, shared the gospel with him, and led him to Christ. Steve McMichael got saved.
Amen.
This is what he said after he made that commitment. If it took getting the ALS to see the light, then so be it. God took this really bad disease and used it to bring me to Christ. So no doubt, God is good, and everything He does is good. Sometimes God allows what He hates to accomplish what He loves. Why does God allow some bad things to happen to us? Verse 29, to conform us to the image of Christ, to make us more and more like Jesus. Sue and I were never able to have children of our own. God said, you're not going to have natural children because I'm going to give you a bunch of spiritual children. There may be somebody sitting in this church right now, you and your husband, you and your wife, you were never able to have kids. Maybe you didn't get the girlfriend that you thought you should have had. Maybe you didn't marry the person that you really were in love with, you think. Maybe you never got the job, the career. You never got to go study for that degree you always thought you should have had. Maybe you're not living in the part of the country you thought you always wanted to live in. And you say, Kevin, why is God punishing me? God is not punishing you. He is pruning you. And pruning is not punishment. Because God only prunes what's valuable. Nobody prunes a dead bush. God is pruning you because you are fruitful.
Amen.
And the pruning is going to make you even more fruitful if you cooperate with it. So the question is this morning, trouble comes into our lives. Are we going to trust that God's going to bring something good out of it? Are we just going to turn our back on God and quit and take our ball and go home? Because, folks, I could fill this church up 25 times with the number of people I know in 43 years of ministry. Trouble came into their lives. They said, God, the hell with you. They walked away and they've never come back. Christians, listen to me. Trouble comes into your life. You don't quit.
That's right.
Donald Trump didn't quit. They impeached him twice. He didn't quit. I tried to throw him out of office. He didn't quit. I tried to keep him from running for president 2024. He didn't quit. They tried to bankrupt him. He didn't quit. Last July the 13th, heaven's sakes, even shot him in the head and he didn't quit. You know why he didn't quit? This is what Donald Trump said 5 weeks ago. There is no burden that we can have that's too heavy for God to lift. You never, ever, ever quit trusting in God, no matter what, for ourselves or for our country, because there is nothing that we can't overcome with His help. You don't quit. Trouble comes into your life, you don't quit. You don't quit on God because God's never going to quit on you. Here's Sue Bernadone. She never quit. Married to that guy right up there. You see Bill Bernadone, married for almost 40 years until last March the 29th when he died. Bill and Sue Bernadone were almost 20 years together in this church, side by side, usually sitting right here. And he absolutely loved to sing. And this past week was his birthday. People, do you have any idea how hard it is for this woman to come to this church and be here on Sunday mornings? Because she can still hear him singing, sitting right next to her. Just being here on a Sunday morning, people, that's faith. That's faith. Because when this verse says God causes all things to work together for good, she knows that all things even include those things. You know how you can tell if somebody really has faith? When they can still praise God with a broken heart. That's what she's doing. She's trusting. Even when she doesn't know. Picture you see on the screen is Jane Vogt, Dan Vogt's wife. I've been at Fox River Church for 31 years. Dan and Jane even longer than that. And for every single one of those 31 years, that woman up there and this guy right here have sat right back here, right behind me. So in 31 years of ministry, if there is anybody at Fox River Church that has ever had my back, it's Dan and Jane Vogt. She was our secretary at one time. She was our church treasurer at one time. She acted in almost every drama I ever wrote for this church. And she's not here today. In case you don't know, she's up in a hospice center in Aurora fighting cancer. And folks, I got to tell you, if God doesn't miraculously heal her, she's going to be going home. And yet, her husband's still here. Dan's still here. He hasn't gone anywhere. He hasn't left the church. He hasn't turned his back on God. He hasn't taken his ball and gone home. How many of y'all realize Christian faith is not for wimps? And I know somebody's hearing this. You say, Kevin, you talk about this God who does good things and a God who brings all the good things out of the bad things. What in the world kind of a good thing could God ever possibly want to bring out of this that is worth putting these two people through the kind of hell that they're going through right now? And the only thing I can say is, I don't know. Deuteronomy 29:29 says the hidden things belong to God, which means there are all kinds of bad things that are going to happen to us and the people that we love in this lifetime that we are never going to be able to figure out this side of eternity. God does not ask you to explain Him. God does not ask you to understand Him. All God asks you to do is trust Him. Trust in God with the mystery. Trust in God with the questions. Are you going to do that today? And folks, we can't forget. God not only brings good things out of the trouble, God can also deliver us completely from the trouble. This past Wednesday was the 23rd anniversary of 9/11. A Muslim terrorist hijacked four U.S. planes and flew two of them into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center. One of the people in those Twin Towers that day was a born-again Christian named Andrew Cullen, working on the 84th floor of the South Tower for KBR. 8:46 that morning, September 11, 2001, American Airlines Flight 11 slammed into the North Tower of the World Trade Center, and the impact was so great it caused the South Tower to start swaying back and forth. And the Spirit of God spoke to Andrew Cullen's heart and said, "You and your friends get out of this building right now." So Andrew Cullen and his friends took off to the elevators. They went down to the 44th floor sky deck. They got off the elevators. A Port Authority officer was there telling everybody, "It's all good. It's okay. Everybody go back up to your offices." And hundreds of people did. Jesus told Andrew Cullen, "Get out of this building right now." So Andrew Cullen and his friends went over to the elevator. Jesus said, "Take the stairs." But Lord, the stairs is going to take forever. The elevator's a lot faster. Jesus said, take the stairs. Andrew Cullen took the stairs. His friends took the elevator. And he never saw him again. Because 9:03 a.m., United Airlines Flight 175 slammed into the South Tower of the World Trade Center, sending burning jet fuel racing down the elevator shafts, incinerating everybody and everything inside. Well, Andrew Cullen got out of that building. And in that famous picture, they're one of the most famous pictures from 9/11. That's him wrapping a towel around his face to get through the absolute pitch black darkness of the dust and the smoke and the debris. And he got out. Amen. People, listen. Sometimes when all hell breaks loose, you've got to walk with God in the dark. Amen. And the only way you can do it, you've got to listen to him and you've got to do what he tells you to do. Do what Jesus tells you to do, because if Jesus leads you to it, he will lead you through it. And why? Why can he do that? Because Jesus knows exactly what it's like to be trapped in the darkness. We think about all the places where Jesus suffered in Jerusalem during Holy Week. Remember Jesus being interrogated by Pontius Pilate at Herod's palace. Remember Jesus being whipped within an inch of his life by the Roman soldiers in the fortress Antonia. Remember Jesus taken out to Mount Calvary and having those 9-inch spikes pounded through his wrists and his feet and being crucified, the most painful, the most horrific form of execution known to mankind. But folks, there was another place that Jesus was in Jerusalem before the whipping and the crucifixion even started on Good Friday. A place where Jesus maybe suffered the worst of all, and not just physically, but spiritually. Proven he knows exactly what you're going through when you're in trouble. Thursday night of Holy Week, Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. And before the Jewish leaders took him to Pontius Pilate, they beat him and tied him up and frog marched him to a 5-star mansion house of Caiaphas, the high priest. Today it's called the Church of St. Peter in Gallicantu. And there the Sanhedrin tried him for blasphemy and beat on him even more and then condemned him to die. And in Matthew chapter 27, verse 12 says, before dawn the next morning, Good Friday morning, they took him to Pilate to have him crucified. But the question is, where did they keep Jesus the night before? Where did they put Jesus on Thursday night, on the night before Good Friday? Well, Caiaphas' house had a basement where special prisoners were kept, tied up hand and foot. But even that wasn't near enough for somebody as dangerous as Jesus Christ. So the worst of the worst, like Jesus, the floor of that basement, there was a hole about 3 feet around. And that hole led down into a cave or a pit about 15 feet long and 15 feet wide and 20 feet deep. If you ever go there, you see a picture of Jesus, a mosaic that shows a rope around his chest and his shoulders, because that is the only way that prisoners got in and out of that pit, either by being lowered down or raised up by that rope running through the hole. No stairs, no doors, no windows, no light, and absolutely no escape. People, that is the place where Jesus spent his last night on earth. The creator of the earth, the savior of the world, in that cold, dark emptiness of that pit. Alone, forgotten, rejected, and abandoned. While Jesus was down in that pit, out in the courtyard, Peter was denying that he even knew who he was 3 different times. And right above Jesus in the 5-star presidential suites, Caiaphas, the high priest, and all the Jewish leaders were sleeping like babies because they couldn't have cared less that they were condemning an innocent man to die. And there was Jesus in that pit all by himself. The Son of God, the Messiah, the only hope the world had. but he was despised and rejected of men. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. No food, no water, no earthly comforts. Cut off from all of his family and friends. Nobody to stand up for him. Nobody to speak up for him. Nobody to stick by his side. Some friends he had. And don't tell me that hadn't hurt him more than the lashes from the whip and the spikes in his wrists and his feet that he got the very next day. Psalm chapter 88, you have put me in the pit, in the deepest darkness. You have overwhelmed me and cut me off from all my friends. And there is no escape. There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. You've got trouble in your life and you are fighting against depression big time because you feel like you're in a dark pit and there's no way out. You say, Kevin, nobody knows how I feel. Jesus does. Nobody knows what it's like to be rejected and forgotten and abandoned. Jesus does. Nobody knows what it's like to be made fun of and laughed at and be accused of all kinds of things you didn't do. Jesus does. Because Jesus knows exactly what it's like to be in a pit. He's been where you are. And notice, Jesus stayed in that pit. Until hours later, he was brought out and died on a cross and rose from the dead to overcome all those bad and evil things that the devil and the world puts in your life and to destroy the power those things have over you. Surely, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And today, you take that trouble in your life, you turn it over to Jesus Christ, he will take that trouble off your shoulders, he will put it on his own shoulders, and he will carry it away so you don't have to carry it at all anymore. Jesus trusted God and stayed in his pit. So you can trust in God and not have to stay in yours. The second thing we need to remember in order to keep trusting God in times of trouble, God brings good things out of the bad things. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to remember in order to keep trusting God in times of trouble. Not only are bad things going to happen, not only does God bring good things out of the bad things, but third, God has a plan. God's got a plan to do that. And that's also what we see here in verse 28. Because all the skeptics say, Christians, you're just suckers. You supposedly believe in a God who does good things. But all these bad things keep happening and all kinds of bad things keep happening to you. What are you, Christians? Gluttons for punishment? No. We just know and believe that God has a plan to take the bad things in our lives and turn them into something good. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, God has plans for us to bless us and not to hurt us. Psalm 139 verse 16, God's plan for every single day of your life was already filed in His database before you even born. God's not just flying by the seat of His pants with you folks or making this up as He goes along. God's got a plan. You say, well, Kevin, I don't even know what that plan is. That's okay, as long as you trust that He knows what it is. When I started ministry, God gave me a vision that one day I would pastor a church by two major highways. It would be like a church at the crossroads. And God's word would go out from that church all over the world. Well, then 1994, God called me to little bitty Fox River Church outside the seething metropolis of Norway, Illinois. So far off the beaten path, you had to go there on purpose. And the joke was, little Norway wasn't the end of the world, but you could see it from there. How in the world was God ever going to fulfill this vision that He gave to me? Well, guess what? God started growing that little country church like crazy. Grew it so much we were able to build this building here in 2006 in this location. And now guess what? I'm serving a church by two main highways, 52 and 71. And because of live stream, God's word is going out from this church all over the world. Just exactly like God said. God's got a plan. And not only that, when Sue and I moved up here in 1994, little did we know, just 30 miles away, there was a college called Aurora University that had an accredited social work program that she needed to finish her master's degree. Folks, God is playing 3D chess and doing hundreds of different kinds of things in your life all at the same time. All things work together for good, past, present, and future. God's got a plan. Amen. Actor James Earl Jones died last Monday, September the 9th. James Earl Jones was a born-again Christian. Grew up with a horrible, horrible stuttering problem until a voice teacher finally taught him how to speak in a really low, deep bass tone. A bass voice. And folks, it not only stopped the stuttering problem, it made his entire career. It made his entire life. James Earl Jones was even the voice of Darth Vader in Star Wars. God had a plan. Colonel Sanders got fired from 7 different jobs before he started cooking chicken. God had a plan. Thomas Edison was told by every single teacher he ever had he would never amount to anything. God had a plan.
Amen.
People, listen to me. There is not one single thing that you're suffering from right now that's going to be wasted. Not one single thing that's hurting you. Not one single thing that's tearing you apart. Not one single thing that's sticking in your craw. Not one single thing that is breaking your heart or the heart of the people that you love that God is not going to remember or make up for or use in your life for something good. God's got a plan.
Amen.
Questions this morning. Are we going to trust that? And are we going to trust that God has that kind of plan for our country? Because people, right now, America is going to hell in a handbasket. Here's some typical Kamala Harris voters when they're asked why they're supporting Kamala Harris.
What is Harris's biggest accomplishment to date as vice president?
I don't know. I don't feel comfortable doing this anymore.
She was a very good vice president.
That's an interesting question. Getting to vice president.
I have to do more research on her, honestly. I'm just glad to see a woman of color in charge for once. That's it.
I haven't followed her political career that closely.
That's a good one. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't want to go back.
People, Kamala Harris is a shapeshifter. Totally media created, no record of accomplishment whatsoever. And just 8 weeks ago, she was an absolute joke, even to the Democrats. Now she's the savior of the world. And folks, the fact that a person like that can even come close to running for president of the United States shows just how far and just how lost this country already is. God help us, people. And the state-run media in this country is absolutely shameless in shilling for her. Remember that from the debate?
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
I just want to clarify here. You bring up Springfield, Ohio, and ABC News did reach out to the city manager there. He told us there have been no credible reports of specific claims of pets being harmed, injured, or abused by individuals within the immigrant community.
People, that's an absolute lie. Here's the actual body cam video from the cop in Ohio arresting a Haitian illegal woman.
Smile with your teeth. Go like this. Did you eat that cat? Did you eat it? No, why'd you kill it? Get in there. It's ridiculous.
What was she arrested for? For eating a cat, just exactly like Donald Trump said. Folks, we've got all the 911 calls of all the residents of Springfield, Ohio, telling about Haitian illegals who are eating their animals and stealing their pets, even stealing ducks and geese out of the park. But folks, the issue is not the animals. The issue is not even the Haitians. The issue is the Cloward and Piven policy of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris purposely flooding this country with millions and millions of illegals so they can be future Democrat voters. People who shouldn't be in this country to start with, and to hell with how it affects the American people.
Amen.
No wonder the leftist media is lying about it and trying to cover it up. Last August the 22nd, 2023, Springfield, Ohio, a 35 illegal Haitian who for some reason was given a driver's license was arrested for vehicular homicide when he swerved his car right in front of a school bus, killing an 11-year-old boy named Aiden Clark and sending 24 other students on that bus to the hospital. But see, if you say anything at all, you're a racist, because in Kamala's America, everything is Shangri-La. By the way, did you notice the earrings she was wearing during that debate? Because right now there's a company called Nova that makes listening devices that look exactly like pearl earrings, just exactly like the one she was wearing. Just saying. Remember that from the debate?
They have abortion in the 9th month. In other words, we'll execute the baby.
There is no state in this country where it is legal to kill a baby after it's born.
That's an absolute lie. Are you serious? Right now, 8 states plus the District of Columbia, babies are being murdered up to the very nanosecond that those babies are born. Partial birth abortion, late term abortion. And in Illinois, Minnesota, California, New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Washington, Oregon, Vermont, Maryland, Connecticut, and Hawaii. Babies are being murdered because babies who survive abortion are being denied, legally denied, life-saving care. So a baby that survives an abortion in those states is thrown on a cold tray, wounded, bleeding, dying, and screaming. Screaming and yelling for their mother. Screaming and yelling for some kind of help at all until they die. And vice presidential nominee Tim Walz even made it in his state a law that nurses and doctors couldn't even put a towel over that baby. My God, people, you talk about evil. Amen. Kamala Harris' entire presidential campaign is being greased on the blood and the guts of unborn babies. And you tell me how we're supposed to keep trusting that God could ever bring something good out of this. But we can trust. And you know why? Because when Paul says here in this text, all things work together for good, all things, not only talking about things right now, it's also talking about things that the Bible says are going to happen in the future. This coming September 22nd and 23rd, all member countries of the United Nations are going to be meeting in New York City for something called the Summit of the Future. Media isn't telling you about this because they don't want you to know. And during the Summit of the Future, later this month, every country in the world is expected to surrender their national sovereignty and all the individual rights of all of their citizens to the United Nations whenever the next global emergency or pandemic comes along. So the United Nations will have absolute, complete, and total control over every single person on the face of the earth. Folks, that's what you call a nightmare waiting to happen. Because that is exactly the platform that the Antichrist is going to use to take over the world when he comes. One world government, just exactly like the Bible says. Folks, in these last days, all kinds of bad things are going to happen. And the Bible says they have to happen. Jesus said, Luke chapter 21, verse 28, these things must soon take place. Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, desolations have been decreed. But the good news is, in these last days, God's going to bring some good things out of those bad things. Because it's all leading to what you see right there. This coming October 2nd through 4th is the Jewish festival of Rosh Hashanah, or the Feast of Trumpets. And even if people don't care about the Jewish festivals anymore, God still does. Because He still uses them to mark times and seasons, and especially for what's going to happen in the last days. The first four Jewish festivals represent what Jesus did when he came here the first time, and the last three represent what Jesus is going to do when he comes again. And the last three festivals start with the Feast of Trumpets. And because it's the start of the new Jewish year, it's signaled by a new moon that starts out as invisible. So the Sanhedrin would hire two men to keep watch, and when the very first sliver of the new moon became visible, they would report it to the Sanhedrin, and they would announce the start of the new year and the start of the festival. And because nobody ever knew ahead the exact time that the first sliver of moon would actually appear, because it was impossible to predict and only God knew, the Jews called the Feast of Trumpets, nobody knows the day or the hour. So when Jesus says, Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, nobody knows the day or the hour, he's talking about the time of the rapture. The rapture happening during the Feast of Trumpets. See, Jesus never said we couldn't know the time of His coming. Jesus has said we couldn't know the exact time of His coming, the day or the hour. And because of all the different time zones that are in the world, Jesus' coming would be at different times to different people in different places all over the world over a period of 2 days, which is why the Feast of Trumpets is celebrated how? Over a period of 2 days. And why could the Feast of Trumpets very well be the time of the rapture? Because Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, it could be. And every single one of the Jewish festivals, Jesus fulfilled the exact meaning of that festival on the exact same day. Passover, Jesus was sacrificed as the Lamb of God on the cross. Feast of Unleavened Bread, Jesus' body was broken on the cross like unleavened bread. First fruits, Jesus rose from the dead as the first fruits, proof that everybody who believes in Him is going to be raised too. Pentecost, a harvest festival, when Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit on the disciples in Jerusalem to start the gospel harvest of the church. Feast of Trumpets, Jesus comes in the rapture. And people, why not? Because at the Feast of Trumpets, the priest blows the trumpet exactly 100 times. And the last trumpet blast is always the loudest and the longest of the previous 99. And it's that trumpet blast that announces the rapture. And how do we know that? Because Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, at the rapture we shall all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trumpet. And what did Jesus say was going to happen when he comes in the rapture? Matthew chapter 24, verses 30 and 31. You shall see the sign of the Son of Man appear in the sky with great power and glory, and the sound of the trumpet. Ready or not, people, here he comes. And here's the kicker. This year, 2024, there are two solar eclipses. And the Bible says a solar eclipse is always a sign for God's people. The first solar eclipse was a total solar eclipse. The Great American Eclipse, we remember it, last April the 8th, on the very first day of the very first month of the Hebrew calendar. And the pattern of that eclipse, along with the pattern of the total solar eclipse, August 21st, 2017, 7 years earlier, made a giant X across the United States. It also made the Hebrew letters the Aleph and the Tav, the first and the last letters of the Hebrew alphabet, a sign of Jesus Christ, the first and the last, a sign that America in these last days needs to turn to Jesus Christ. But see, there's another solar eclipse coming this year. And it's not a total solar eclipse. It's something called an annular eclipse, which means the moon doesn't quite cover up the sun, leaving what's called a ring of fire around the edges. And annular eclipses are so rare, it's going to be a once-in-a-lifetime event. Now get this. When that eclipse happens, the moon and the sun is going to be in the constellation Virgo. That's mentioned in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 12. The moon always represents God's people. The sun always represents the Lord. And Virgo is the virgin, the bride of Christ, the church. And Zechariah chapter 2 verse 5 says, on that day, the glory of the Lord will be like a fire surrounding His people. What is Zechariah talking about? Zechariah is prophesying about the rapture when Virgo, the virgin, is going to be caught up like the moon to the sun with the glory of God around it, like a ring of fire around it. I fell into a burning ring of fire. And when is this all going to happen? When is the moon and the sun going to be in the constellation Virgo? When is the ring of fire going to be in the sky as a sign of the rapture? When is this next solar eclipse going to happen as a sign to God's people? Well, hold on to your hats. That would be this coming October the 2nd, the exact same time that the Feast of Trumpets starts. So this ring of fire in the sky as a sign of the rapture at the exact same time, the Feast of Trumpets that prophesies the rapture. Holy up, up and away, people. What are you going to be doing this coming October 2nd through 4th? Because if I was you, I'd be looking up. So, Kevin, you're saying that the rapture is going to happen this coming October the 2nd during the Feast of Trumpets. Absolutely not. Because nobody really can know the day or the hour. I'm for it whenever it happens. All I'm saying is, ain't these interesting times that we're living in? Romans chapter 8, verse 28. God works all things together for good. And we know those all things include these things because Jesus said, Luke chapter 21, verse 28, when you see all these things happening, look up. Look up. For your redemption draweth nigh. And folks, all the trouble that we go through down here will be worth it all when we get up there. For our light and momentary troubles will not even be worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. And we will finally understand why we went through all the hurt and all the heartache and all the pain. In that land of perfect day, when all the mist is rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. Question is this morning. All the trouble in your life, all the trouble in this country, all the trouble in our world in these last days, this close to eternity, when it matters the most, when it's more important than ever before, are you going to trust God or not? And why can we trust Him? Because I'm asking you this morning to remember that bad things happen. But that God brings good things out of bad things. And God's got a plan to do that in your life. And when you look back at your life, you can see time after time after time when the trouble was the worst, when the trouble was the hairiest and the scariest. over and over again, Jesus came and pulled your fat out of the fire. When all you had was the pain, He had the plan. No matter what that trouble was in your life, no matter how bad it was, Jesus had your back. Jesus had you covered. When it mattered the most, when there was nothing else, when there was absolutely nobody else, there was Jesus.
Every time I try to make it on my own, every time I try to stand, I start to fall.
God works all things together for good. But notice again, that promise is only for those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank You for today. Just thank You, Lord, for the fact that You are with us. And Lord, You're not just with us now. You will never leave us and forsake us. You will be with us through the end of the world and forever and ever in eternity. Pray for somebody here today, Lord, who does not know You as their Savior. Lord, they would make that commitment before they leave this building.
Just thank the Lord for the way that you work. All these things we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen.